a lot of people live in denial because they think that to be realistic is to be depressing.
I'm Dr. Mike, host of Going There.
It was the first song where I wrote about how I felt like my depression was killing me and I didn't want it.
Going There breaks the stigma of mental health issues by having real, honest conversations with your favorite musicians, including Alessia Cara, Lizzie Hale, Jewel, Jason Isbell, Gerard Way, Lauren Gray, Shamir, and Barty Strange.
There was something there that was so raw, where I was like, wow, I can't believe someone would say that.
Let's go there on Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network, every other Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's February, but everybody is thinking about Bonnaroo. We're thinking about June. We're thinking about camping in a field. Can you believe it? We're thinking about camping in a field. We're going to talk about Bonnaroo. We're going to talk about late night sets. We're going to talk about the bands we've never heard of. We're going to just talk about whatever we want to talk about. Here we go. Here we go. I'm so excited. This is going to be so much fun. I'm Barry. There's Russ, Lord Taco, and Brian Stone. We're going to talk about Bonnaroo. We've got a special guest, Olivia. She's going to come on later. She's one of the photographers that I've worked with over the years at the Bonnaroo. She works at the Chattanooga Times Free Press. But more importantly, she's just a Bonnaroo fan, and we're going to talk about her. We're going to talk with her later. But before that, we're going to have a little bit of fun, I hope. We're going to talk about some listeners. We asked people last week to call in and leave us some messages about who they'd like to see, some Bonnaroulette type of stuff.
Yeah, their version of the Bonnaroulette that maybe we didn't get to, that we need to expand more. And this is the time of year where I start to get excited, where I start to, all you need in any setting is a reason to get excited, and then it builds from there. And
that's right.
And I've found a couple here and there, and I'm like, oh my god, that was great. I need more of this. And so there's plenty of time, but it won't be long before there's not plenty of time to get to do the homework and get caught up.
It gets up on us quick, but I have a question for you guys. And, just because I'm feeling froggy and I have to be honest, Brian, reached out to you earlier this week and said, hey, we need to redo this show on Sunday. And you said, I have some notes. And I got to be honest, it kind of pissed me off because we don't do notes. And then I got up this morning and this is going to make sense. I'm going to throw you guys a huge curveball, but it's going to make sense.
Make it a hanging curveball so I have a chance.
It'll hang. It's going to hang for sure. Baseball Can you nerds. Tell me the first time you heard a girl fart? And trust me. I have a reason for asking this question.
What a way to start the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
I am one of those types growing up that just would refuse to believe that women even did that. Okay.
Thank you.
So the answer is never. Never. And if it did happen, I've blocked it out.
Thank you. You've exactly confirmed what I thought. I remember I was coming home from a date
with, and I won't mention her name, but we were walking into her house around the corner and she pooted. And she was devastated. She was so embarrassed. And I was like, whatever.
Should be.
I mean, so you guys, I know Brian, I know I've heard you talk about Mythbusters because I was a huge fan too. Did you ever see the episode where they said, do pretty girls fart?
No, but that sounds familiar. And I probably stayed away from it because I didn't want to. I didn't want to hear what I didn't want to know.
Russ, you're being very quiet. When was the first time?
She waited after we were married. So too late at that point. Yeah.
So my wife, who never listens to this show, this is not an issue for her, which should embarrass her. The reason I bring it up is I was watching Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which is the latest show from Donald Glover, Childish Gambino.
Okay.
And this is how I'm bringing it back.
Okay.
One of the best shows ever at Bonnaroo was his show.
Absolutely.
I wasn't there. Right.
Of course you weren't. You were probably on a walkabout.
In your car listening to The Shins.
I would not. No, that was a decade ago. Courtney Barnett was playing a set on a tent stage at the exact same time.
Oh my God.
And everybody was like, you're a fool. I said, she's my favorite. Y'all can go, you know what, yourselves. I'm out of here. And man, not the best decision.
That show, Russ, I was on the rail. And this is, again, this is why I knew this was going to go this way. I knew, Brian, you were probably not there. Because Russ, you were chasing some blue hair. And I didn't want to go, but said, I'm going to see how close I can get, and wandered up and was on the rail.
She had green hair, by the way.
Okay. Literally ended up 30 feet from center stage and watched his roadie nearly rip the arm off of a guy who was illegally videotaping the show. That's part of what I remember. I just happened to walk up and this guy was standing next to me and his roadie came up and just like, whoom. I'm like, what just happened? Some guy was... Anyway.
Yeah.
And then he kept staring at me this whole time because look at me. I look like a narc. I look like I'm there. You know, I don't look like I'm there to see Childish Gambino. And my God, that show was amazing. I've never seen one person on a stage hold an audience like he did.
Oh, I remember the excitement.
Yeah. Right, Russ?
Yes, that's a good way to put it. It was just him. Yeah.
It was incredible. And he filled that whole stage. Yeah. And so this show, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which is, I think he's the producer, and Maya Erskine is the actress who's on it with him. It's him. It's just like that show, Russ, and that's why I bring it up. Mm-hmm. It's so confident. It's so... The confidence that he has because it's so slow, a lot of it. And then all of a sudden it's not, just like that show was. But on episode 3.
Are we going to get back to this? The initial question, right?
The episode 3, it ends. He's in bed with his co-star and she's like, I got to go get some snacks. And he's like, no, go ahead and fart. She's like, what are you talking about? I said, no, I know where you're leaving. You got a fart. It's the funniest thing. It's the funniest thing. And it just made me think, you know, to the point, pretty girls don't fart. Right?
No, there's no chance.
Right.
Yeah. I won't believe it. I won't believe it.
I'm so sorry. I know y'all didn't see that coming.
No. But that's
my morning. I think it was
definitely
funny.
Didn't have that on my bingo card.
Yeah. It's a myth. It's a myth. It's not real. It's not real.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so what are we going to do? We've got, we reached out, we did Bonnaroulette last week, one of my favorite things that we do, and we asked people to share with us some acts that they think we should put on the Bonnaroulette wheel, and they did, and Russ, you've collected them. What do we have, like about a million people calling?
A million and a half, at least. Yeah, yeah.
Just under.
So many
just
calls.
Just under.
Yeah. Yeah.
Phones just ring. It's like a telethon.
Ringing off
here,
the hook. Yeah.
Yeah. Jerry yeah. Lewis telethon going on over here.
People man. Are standing by.
No, lots of calls and lots of good calls. And we encourage more of those. And we'll play a few here in a little bit and give away these tickets here before too long. You know, that's the whole idea.
Yeah.
And for more discovery, as this is a year that all three of us, I think, appreciate that more than some years. You know, every year there's discovery, but for me,
yeah, let's talk about that before we get into it. And there's probably some other news. I know the late night set came out this week too.
Yeah, which I'm interested to talk about too, because that was we'll get to that. But
you want to do that first, or you want to do the call ins?
Let's do it first.
Let's look at the late night.
Yeah,
let's look at the late night and the reason that I found this to be interesting enough for something that I felt like could be stretched out on, and stretched out can be 10 minutes, it can be 30 minutes, it can be an hour, it can be whatever you want it to be, is that I have never seen Bonnaroo do this before. And if I have, I've missed it. And maybe they have the last few years, but I missed it. A push of the after hours branding, which is basically, that's what I consider that with that flyer, you know, this flyer that came out to that everybody saw, that's a calculated push by the organization to get people to go to these late night shows. I mean, their late night shows have been happening at Bonnaroo for 15 years minimum, maybe since day one. I don't remember what they did the first 5 years. I don't know if there was music playing at 4 o'clock in the morning then, but for a decade and a half, there has been. I don't ever remember seeing there being a push saying, hey, here's exactly early on. Like, we don't know the set times yet. We don't know the stage right. times. We don't know anything. I don't remember, other than the day that they're playing, I don't remember ever seeing this before. And I thought it was just another, I don't want to say genius move, we start using that word too much, but a very, very slightly above innovative way of continuing to push this festival and what makes it stand out from everything else. And I found that to be the most notable part. And then after looking at who is on this list and actually recognizing somebody each night, because most of the time the late night stuff is stuff I haven't heard of.
Sure.
And other than like last year, Korn was late and My Morning Jacket was late. That was a different year than we've been used to. I think it's really cool. The problem is I don't stay up this late, so I don't know that I'm going to make any of these shows other than after last week's discovery of Neil Francis with an I, Francis Comes Alive on that Thursday that I would really like to see. But, you know, my initial thought was, wow, Bonnaroo once again makes another really cool advertising push that, you know, that always sets them apart from everybody else.
It's that value added kind of thing to me. It's, and we talked about this, especially this year. Okay. I'm going to spend how much for a ticket to see my favorite band. Right. Mm-hmm. Or maybe two or three. And then it's like, okay, so what else am I going to do? Oh, you mean, I can see Gore on Thursday night late. You know, 2 a.m. Mars Volta. Are you kidding? I mean, that alone, right?
Right, it's the feelies. They want you to, you know, you've dropped a bunch of money on the ticket. They want you to feel good about, you know, and tease a little bit of what you're gonna experience.
Yeah, they don't care if you go to any of these shows. Yeah. They're just pushing that they're there, and really, actually, and that maybe that's not true. There was a part of me that thought for a minute, well, there's an interesting crowd control here thing. If you take away the variables that people who are going to get themselves in trouble anyway, no matter what time of day it is, you know what I'm kind of referring to, usage of substances and things that no one encourages, not us, not the festival, not people who understand the stamina it takes to be able to do this kind of weekend. But if you really look at the science of the temperature and of June, your safest bet is to spend the late nights seeing music in the middle, you know, in the middle of the night and not being in the sweltering sun. And then if a bunch of people do that, they'll all be crashed out all the next day. And then we get a Senaru much easier to wave our arms around while we're checking 4 o'clock shows out on the what stage.
Well,
I think I just made a bunch of stuff up.
You've just become the cynic. You've become your dad. When did this happen?
When I was 17. But
you've just become the old man in the room.
These acts, though, are nothing to not pay attention to.
So we're looking at Fisher, Rosen Murphy, Big the Plug, War, Neil Francis. Francis Comes Alive on Thursday.
It's Big Seven X Lines,
the Plug. T-Pain. Oh, my God. That's going to be so much fun.
T-Pain Mars Volta is going to be huge.
T-Pain.
Yeah.
Confirmed T-Pain will not be in a tent this year. I don't know if you remember that 2018 set. You couldn't get anywhere close because that tent was overflowed. So he's going to be on one of the stages.
I would say which would be my guess.
Me too.
Who knows? That's Friday.
That is worth a ticket alone. Right?
Yes.
That's kind of my point. You're going to get to see T-Pain do something stupid, something crazy. I mean, stupid good.
Yeah, yeah.
Mars Volta, Thundercat's going to be fun. And then Saturday, Pretty Lights, a sunrise set. Are you kidding?
I know. After doing the Thursday, which we talked about a little bit last week, the Thursday night on the what, I am just beyond excited to see what that stage is going to look like. I feel like if the International Space Station is going to be able to see a pretty good view of Manchester and the what stage with Pretty Lights, late night, I'm guessing, it doesn't say it, we don't know yet, but I'm guessing that'll be like a 11 o'clock at night, maybe midnight, 10:30, whatever it is.
Sunrise, it's going to be later.
No, but the sunrise is Saturday.
Right, because they're doing the
two sets. On Thursday, right. I'm assuming it'll be more like 11 or 10 or midnight. I don't know.
It's going to be so cool. So, yeah, it's amazing. Again, these are the, and we'll talk more. I don't want to spend all this because we've got a lot to get to, but that's amazing. That's going to be so much fun. And these are those, again, the value added type of things.
Yeah.
We love this festival. We get it. We know we have our expectations, but then they throw this at us and it's like, oh my God.
Well, and what Bonnaroo has done marketing wise to me feels like what the NFL has done over the years, where they kind of spend the whole year giving you a little bit here, giving you the schedule release here, the free agency days here, the combine.
Yeah, it's
you know,
that the whole drip thing, feed.
What they're doing, and they've been doing it more and more, is just every little while, here's another little something. It's a marketing. It's all marketing.
It's that value added.
And it works. And even if it's not an additional true value that you can put a measurement on that's tangible, it feels, it's like, oh, man, did you see the after? That's how I reacted to it. And that's not normally how I would. I like the way they presented it. It wasn't like, hey, coming up tomorrow, big announcement.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, my God, what is the great, you know, they didn't set up lofty expectations they couldn't hold up to. They just one day said, check that out.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Here's T-Pain on Friday.
That's pretty cool. We already knew all these bands were going to be there, but when you curate it down like this, it adds a level of perceptive value. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what they need to do to move these very expensive tickets. And I hope they do. I hope they do. Bye. I hope everybody is going to eventually do. I want 80,000 on that farm. We've been there when there's been light crowds, and we've been happy.
I like 40 because I like to be
right. I do too. But you know good and damn well we won't be doing this show in a couple years with 40,000. So I want this thing to sell. I do. I love it. I think it's another just small but really effective move by the by Bonnaroo and just overall in general.
Well, we'll all do right, our so part because we've got some tickets to give away. Speaking of buying tickets, we'll do our part. We'll get some tickets given away here. Like you said, last week we spun the wheel, the Bonnaroo Roulette wheel, and then we said, it's your turn. Give us a call and tell us who we should be listening to. Who are you excited about? And that's what we did. We got calls, and we're still, phone lines are still open, so keep calling.
All right. Along those lines, you've already picked out some of the better ones. So let's listen to those. Russ just said, we asked people to tell us who we should add to the Bonnaroo Roulette wheel. And we got a bunch of calls. And so Russ, give us a sample of one of the best ones.
Hello, my name is Ronnie Robinson. And my suggestion is Half Moon Run. I know y'all kind of crapped on it there in the podcast. I wonder what songs y'all listen to, because this is going to be my 11th Bonnaroo. Very familiar with all the type of bands that come to Bonnaroo and stuff. And this is one of those artists that really fits the description for a Bonnaroo band. I don't know what two songs you listen to, but I left a comment on the podcast of a video of them playing live so you can understand what they are like live. And then songs that you should check out, should definitely check out Full Circle, Alco, Call Me in the Afternoon, Need It. Then again, it's just, it works itself out, Drug You, Nerve. They got a lot of good stuff. I definitely suggest giving them another listen. And also, Neil Francis Comes Alive is going to be excellent on Thursday if you haven't given that a listen yet. Anyways, thank you for listening to me, and I hope you give Half Moon Run another chance. Thank you.
Thanks, Ronnie. Man, we got a super fan there. And
perfect.
Perfect. That's what we're talking about. Did we crap on?
I did. Remember, I hated it. Oh, was remember it, they were was too
that,
precious?
Was that the Precious band?
Yeah,
too
that
precious.
Was the one.
All I did.
And then I came back around. Remember, I came back around because I gave it a second listen. But yeah, and his answer. That's so great that we did that. His answer is why I came back around, because again, as we said before, I kind of have to trust Bonnaroo for booking this band, right?
And intricate, complicated, and generally good music is not something you can listen to once and get.
No,
so
my first reaction was I hated it. I got over it. I came back around.
When we spun the wheel, I mean, there was a little theater of the mind here, but overall, it was a quick sample of seconds to maybe a minute. And
correct.
So when I said I was, oh my God, I love Neil Francis. Francis Comes Alive. Can't wait. I've still only listened to like 2 minutes.
Oh,
still only listened to like 2 minutes. Really I'm just guessing that it's going to stay where I think it's going to go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That was perfect. Great first call. All right. What's next, Russ?
Hey, guys. What's up? My name's Michael. And at the top of my list this year of bands I'm most excited to see, that would be the Mars Volta. If you guys haven't heard of them, give them a listen. They've been going to town on it since, I think 15, maybe 20 years they've been a band. They've been in the game for a while. Goliath is a really good song. They've got a new album that came out last year as well. There's a lot of gold on that too. Definitely don't overlook White Fang as far as like the EDM and electronic side of Bonnaroo music goes. That is actually somebody that I discovered when the Bonnaroo lineup came out. I really enjoyed y'all's talk today and the Bonnaroo Roulette. That was really exciting. Look forward to hearing from you guys. Bye.
Cool. Thanks, Michael.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned the Mars Volta. This is probably my top pick.
I'm sorry to stumble over you. You mentioned this in the pre-show meeting. We have a very extensive pre-show meeting every week. Go over all of this like for an hour and a half.
Hours.
Very good.
It takes hours.
And you mentioned the Mars Volta. And I was kind of thinking, man, I've known this name. He just mentioned it maybe 15, 18, whatever he said, years. I don't know anything about this band, and I feel like that's wrong. I think that's something I've missed in my life.
That
Tell me more about Mars.
It's a great name. Yeah, it's a great name, right?
They this is going to be more like of a progressive rock type band, very intricate, very layered. They're out of Texas, and
I mean, are they a rock-driven bass band, electric guitar-driven bass band?
Yeah.
This is left-handed
guitar.
Everybody, don't come at me. I'm telling you now. I'm sorry. I messed this one up. I should have known.
I'm real surprised that you're not. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I did. I wish I could say yep. Love Mars Volta.
They played Shaky Knees last year, and I love that set. And I'm very excited that it's, especially now that we know it's going to be a late night. This is going to be a perfect late night band to play.
There you go.
Look, to your point, Brian, and we've said this on this show, you can't know everybody. You can't. And don't pretend. That's always bothered me is
the worst.
Those guys are like, yeah, of course I've heard of, if I don't know, I'm going to tell you, I don't know.
It's the worst in every, this kind of medium, the person who sports is the worst, especially with the NCAA tournament coming up, and then you get all, and sports radio is just the dumbest thing ever. But then, Old Dominion, they had that good run back in February.
Shut up.
You don't know anything about them. And the more that you make that clear, it makes it more exciting to talk about and to figure out and discover. Yeah. So yes, I wish I could tell you.
No problem telling you. I don't know who, whatever band is.
What is it?
But he also one thing that the caller said that I really do want us to do is mention the EDM. To that point, none of us are EDM fans. None of the three are EDM. I'm probably the closest of the three.
Yeah, which is probably not what anyone would guess. Yeah,
I know, right? And that's because I do really like it for a minute.
Well, I look at the other stage, and I'm in awe of it. Like when I see it in action, I'm like. Yeah. Oh, I'm mesmerized by it.
I know. I'm with you. I wish that would be my crowd if I were 20.
Yeah, it's more of a just fascination in just like what is that? What peek behind the? What is that? What is that?
Yeah.
To me, it's a guy at a computer hitting a space bar. That's the old guy thing. But where I'm going with this is I really want us to have a guess.
If that guy is Shaq.
It was exactly. What was it he said last year? Don't make me come down there.
Yeah. Oh, I'd have to look.
Is that the thing that was everybody keeps talking about? Don't make me come down.
I didn't take the bait. I should have gone. Oh my God! Shaq.
Oh, you should have gone. It was fantastic.
Come on.
I messed
my
up.
Point is that I really want us to find somebody or a couple of somebodies to have on as a guest to talk about the EDM lineup. Because it's not.
Yeah, we would love to. Mm-hmm.
And I do not want it to be, it sucks. I want to have somebody who's knowledgeable who could come on and tell us, you guys need to go check out this show.
Yeah. Maybe we can get that one guy on Reddit that comments on every post saying that we don't know anything about EDM. All right. Well, come on the show and tell us.
We admit it. Yeah. Reach out. We want to have you on. Tell us who. We had somebody last year or 2 years ago and,
Kyle.
People got mad because it wasn't, what they wanted to hear. Anyway, all right, so let's do another one.
Hi, all. My name is Kate. I'm most excited for Post Malone, but aside from the headliners, I really encourage you to check out Fort Touch. He's playing Sunday. He's actually really close friends with Fred again, who is headlining on Sunday. And they did an amazing back-to-back with Skrillex, actually, three-way back-to-back at at Coachella last year. I'm really, really excited to see their set if I win this giveaway, and I would love them to do a surprise guest with Skrillex and do a surprise back-to-back three-way, run it back just like they did at Coachella. Little bit of four. They were a replacement for when Frank Ocean decided to cancel after Weekend One, and they were amazing. And I was not there, but I am a huge fan of Fred Again and Fortet, so I would really, really like to see them. And I encourage you guys to check out especially Fred Again's Boiler Room set, which was really great. They really know how to keep the energy going. They're really wholesome vibes that really keep the energy of the life of the party going. So thank you so much, and really, really hope I get chosen for this. So thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kate.
All right. So one of the things we kind of said was about this with the Bonner Roulette is we wanted to get the undercard kind of thing. I have to admit, I don't know anything about Fred Again, but based on our conversations with Brad and Corey from C3, this Fred Again set might be the blow up thing. Are y'all at all familiar with Fred Again and why this is important?
Go ahead, not familiar, but you're right. This feels different. This feels like
it's the only U.S. It's the only show he's doing on this continent. I mean, that's the way they sell it. I love the, you know,
that's huge. I mean, that's a big deal. And it's the first time in a long time that Sunday is being closed by a non-legacy act. And so will that keep more people there, younger people there? Does that matter? I don't know.
I'm interested.
Yeah, we'll see. I still don't know the first thing.
No, but we keep running into people who are excited about Fred Again.
She also mentioned, I know we're talking about lower stuff, what we're looking for most, but Post Malone. And for anybody regular that's just getting used to me being around here, my Eddie Vedder obsession has been for 30 years, and it'll never slow down. I've run across two or three TikToks in the last two or three days, and Eddie and Post Malone have been hanging out playing acoustically and wherever.
He calls him Eddie, by the way.
Yeah.
Russ,
you they're on the first thing. I noticed
Eddie.
That, yeah.
Or Ed, yeah. You know. But they've been playing together, and now I'm like, maybe I'm excited about Post Malone. We'll see. But
okay, let's you know, people are always, oh, well, they did this thing with this person and that person. Maybe they'll bring them out. I don't want people to get, you know, to their expectations up.
I would not expect might just Skrillex get to be there.
I would not expect Skrillex to be there. It'd be great if he was, but you know, I think if Bonnaroo knew had them in their pocket, they would promote that. Probably,
but they didn't with Jimmy Buffett that one year, 15 years ago or so. They let that be a major surprise. They did at the very end.
It was. I mean, you know what happened. I mean, he literally was driving cross country and 2 days prior said, I'm going to be in the area. Can I play? It was a surprise.
Well, the Coral Reefers were scheduled though. His backing band was already scheduled to open up the day.
And then not saying it can't happen.
Yeah. I don't remember for sure. In 06, Stevie Nicks came out with Tom Petty. Now they toured together that year. I don't remember it being billed as come to Bonnaroo because Stevie Nicks might be here. I don't quite remember that, but man, that was a lifetime ago. But hey, we can all dream, right? I do it every time. That's half the fun too. Blow me away this year.
Who's going to be the big surprise? But don't convince yourself, because then you'll just be disappointed when it doesn't happen.
Well, to that end, and I think we asked Corey and Brad, right, about that when they were on. I know we have in the past, because that has always been such a big part of Bonnaroo, is the unexpected surprises. And we asked them, you know, why did that seem to go away? And it was not on purpose. It's just part of the industry type of thing. They love it. And who was the act? Who was it that we asked about this year? And they said, we will do whatever. It was Pretty Lights. Yeah, yeah, it was.
Yeah,
somebody asked about Pretty Lights. What's it going to be? And he said, "We will do whatever they want us to do if we can do it." Right? Am I misrepresenting that?
No, that's exactly what they said. So they will bend over backwards to do to do these things. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's again. I mean, that's part of what we love. I mean, we've talked about. I don't remember what year it was when they had the guy, the paratroopers that fell out of the plane and landed on the.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that was like 2008, 9, 10? Was that Chili Peppers?
I don't
remember. That was amazing.
Remember, but I would have never thought of that again if you didn't just mention it. But absolutely, yeah. That
it was
10,
before
11,
you, Russ. Yeah.
Eight, yeah, I've 10, never heard 9, of this.
10, I remember 11. Standing there like, what the hell is happening? There are people falling out of the sky.
You go home and you tell your people, I was at Bonnaroo and people were falling out of the sky.
And literally like, okay, fell out of the sky.
Enough out of you, dude. You don't need to go to Bonnaroo anymore. You're seeing things.
It was amazing.
They were falling. They were parasailing out of the sky. That's absolutely true.
It was
so
great.
We got one more. You want to do Blake?
Let's do one more.
Hey, guys. My name's Blake. I am a huge fan of the show. You guys are great. Last year, you guys got me on to Noah Kahn. He's awesome, so thank you for that. I'm going to go with a band that I saw in 2019. It was my first Bonnaroo, and it was like, I think it was Saturday. It was like the first show of the day. It was so hot. And all my friends were saying, don't go, don't go. It's too hot. It's too early. But me and my buddy Devin, we braved it, and we watched the Testy Brothers. And they were so good. Like, his voice is amazing. It's like liquid gold. It almost reminds me of, like, a Nathaniel Rateliff. And they can transport you back to a different time. But if you don't know the Teskey Brothers, you should give them a listen. I would recommend listening to their recording live at the Forum. It is fantastic. Have a great day, guys. And thank you so much for everything you do.
All right. Thanks, Blake. Yeah. Teskey Brothers on Saturday.
That's a new one. Love it. Going to check that out for sure.
Yeah. When he mentioned Nathaniel Rateliff, that was a great show for me. What, 2 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
And good on you, Blake, to not take your friend's advice. If you're feeling good and you're handling your schedule well, man, the early days in Centaroo, the early part of the day, if the sun's not killing you and you got a way to protect yourself from it, you're going to see some of the best music.
Yeah.
Well, every hour of the festival. But I love an early portion of the day, especially Friday and Saturday. And so good on you for not letting your peers tell you to stay at camp and, you know, lounge around all day, which is fun, too. I'm not saying that's not also fun.
Everybody has to start somewhere. We heard Davey at 12:30 on a Saturday, Warren Treaty right after, right? I mean, yeah, that's a great point. Great point. And they're so happy. They're so happy to be there. That's the other thing. You're going to see a band that is happy to be there, and they're going to give you everything they've got.
So. Well, back in the day when Warren Haynes used to be there from Government Mule and Allman, the late version of the Allman Brothers, the later versions of Allman Brothers, he did an early, like, noon set on the What stage. This is like 20 years ago, and he released an album of it, and it was something else. I don't want to be hyperbolic and say it was some kind of spiritual
thing. He's God in my mind.
But he was just there with
it.
Yeah, but he was just there with just an acoustic guitar, and it was like you would think it was something you would do in a honky tonk or just a little bar on a strip somewhere. And he did it on the What stage at noon, and it was mesmerizing.
Yeah,
and so you never know when you're going to get that.
I saw Macklemore at what, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock on the What stage. I mean, you know, I knew the hit.
I bet that was great.
I knew the hit, and I was like, what's he going to do for 90 minutes? It was incredible. It's one of the great shows. So.
That's a year I would have said, screw that idea. I'm not doing that. What we should do someday is do a show of all the regrets that we have.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of those. Lord.
Yeah. I could make a list that goes days on stuff that I messed up on terribly. Don't be like
I'm going to start with Lionel Richie. I'm going to start with Tom Petty. Yeah, I can make that list.
I wasn't at Paul McCartney for crying out loud.
Well, yeah, that's because you're an idiot. So there's but a story. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. All right, so we're going to now go to our interview with Olivia, which we did weeks and weeks ago. And Olivia, thank you so much. She's a former coworker. She's just a Bonnaroo, you know, like all of us. She has her Bonnaroo stories. All right. We have my former coworker and a really, really cool person, Olivia, on with us. Hi, Olivia. Thanks for doing this.
Of course.
Hey.
Yes. So one of the things we like to do, as we've said, is hear from lots of different people about their Bonnaroo experience. And we have learned that everyone has a unique experience, but also there are a lot of things that are similar, right? I mean, I guess that's we all seem to say the same things when it's all said and done, but we all have totally unique experiences. So, again, thanks for doing this. And just to let everybody know, Olivia is a person that I had the great opportunity to work with for a little while when I was still at the Chattanooga Times Free Press covering Bonnaroo. She's a photographer with the paper there. And, we had a couple of cool experiences last year that we're going to get into in a little bit, but tell everybody how many times you've been and what do you like about, I assume you like it. I shouldn't put words in your mouth, but tell everybody your Bonnaroo experience.
Yeah. So my first one was, I think it was 2018. And so, how many Bonnaroos is that now? Five, not including the COVID year. Is that
correct?
Right?
Yeah, 2018 was my first year.
Really? Mm-hmm. So that was my first one. Went with a bunch of my college friends that I had just made. And I'd always wanted to go in high school, and my family would never let me. And so that was finally my time that I was like, I'm old enough to go to Bonnaroo. So I've photographed it 2 years, and then I've just gone as a normal Bonnaroovian all the other years. So
I know you photographed it last year for the paper. What was your first, was it for the school paper?
That was, so I did the paper both times.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
it's funny when you say that. Yeah. It's funny when you say your family wouldn't let you go. Cause when we talked to Brad from C3, he said the first year he went, he told his mom he was going to Gatlinburg.
Yeah. I definitely had to tell my family, like, I'm going with all my good friends and we're going to be, you know, good. It'll be great.
All right. Well, that gives me reason to launch into one of my stories. So the first year, 2007, that I went was with a photographer, Ashley White, who I just adore. She's so cool. And I remember, and this is so me as an old guy, and being dad and on the whole thing, right? I'm just going to tell this story. So we're laying there, it's the first night, probably a Thursday night, 07, and we camp next to each other. And we worked hard all day long, and we'll get into that. People don't understand how much work it is covering it, right, as a journalist. So we went hard all day, and then she just disappeared. And I went back to our camp and was going to go to sleep. And I literally had this in my head. I don't know where she is. It's like 2 and 3 in the morning, right? She's out. In my mind, she's out having, who knows? She's being terrorized, right? I mean, terrible things are happening. And I can hear our editor, Chris Vass, Olivia, in my head saying, "You left her? You let that child go out by herself?" And I'm like, what can I do? I'll never find her. And of course, she was out having a great time. And we all know Bonnaroo is safe and fun, and she was having a blast. But in my head, you know, I'm like, oh my God, I've abandoned this child to 80,000 people doing whatever. So, yeah, I got over it pretty quickly. But that's one of my first memories. Of Bonnaroo. So anyway, all right, so we're gonna get into your picks for your lineup, the, you know, the ones you like, but what was it like that first one? Isn't that, why did you, first of all, where were you living, what part of the country?
The first Bonnaroo I went to,
yeah
at the time I think I had gone home for summer, so I was back in Memphis. Because I wasn't in the dorms anymore. So we were driving up from Memphis to go. And yeah, it was a bunch of my, like, all my Memphis friends ended up going to college. Like, we all went to the same school. So we all got to, like, go together. And we actually drove up. Is it a coupe? Is that what the car is called? But it has just the two doors. We drove up, like,
coupe.
Coupe. We drove up, like, six of us in a little coupe. It was horrible. But we got there and it ended up being fine. But yeah, that, what was it, 4 hours, 4.5 hours crammed into a car was quite the drive. So,
you know, it's interesting that it has become now, it's 20 something, 21 years old, the festival, going on 22. And that sort of rite of passage thing, I think, is such a big part of it. I can't imagine, or I can in my old age, what a cool thing that would be to be, like, whatever, 13, 14, 15, thinking at some point that's, I'm going to go to Bonnaroo. And in your case, it was, you know, when you get 18 and you can go and you don't have to ask permission. Right.
Right.
What a cool thing, right. To have that on a wish list.
I remember my sister sitting at the computer and, like, doing the pre-sale to get her tickets and being so excited. And I was like, I'll get to go one day and I'll get to hold it against her, 'cause I'll be able to say, well, she went when she was this age, so now I get to go. So,
even then, was it the lineup or the event, or both?
I think it was that year's lineup. I feel like I remember being really good. I think that might have been the year that it was like Dua Lipa and Billie Eilish and Eminem. I think that might have been that year. Possibly that might have been the next year, but I remember that being a lot of fun. So I wanted to do that, and then also it just kind of was like, it just was something cool that I'd always wanted to do. And like the, I don't know, I'd never gone to any type of festival or camping festival. Beale Street Music Festival was the only one I'd ever been to. And that felt so local to me that it didn't feel like a big deal, which it's a great festival, but like I wanted to, you know, go out of my area.
Right. All right. So you went to that one. What was it like? Was it everything you thought?
It was a lot of fun. I definitely did not prepare, and the group I went with hadn't been before, so we were not, you know, prepared for how the showers were going to be and, you know, all the food we were going to need. And I think that year I slept in a tent and I had a yoga mat down on the floor, and that was what I slept on. And I didn't realize you'd be able to hear all of the music from where you were sleeping, so you didn't sleep. but... yeah, that first year was definitely just a lot of like kind of wandering and trying to figure out like, oh, it's the who stage, the what, where, like, and all the confusion of trying to get places. And yeah, so it was a lot of fun.
All right. So first time doing that sort of a festival, and you're with your friends, and obviously you're in a coupe. you didn't have enough room to pack a lot. But you went back. So what was it that, I mean, as we heard from Brad and Corey, more than 50% of Bonnaroo attendees are first timers, which is a stunning number. Cause I know Russ, when he said that, you and I were both like, man, we thought it was, you know, everybody goes back all the time, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed. And I guess maybe just cause everyone we know has been year after year after year. So we don't get to talk to a lot of first timers.
Right. And we have this sort of, I don't know, history with it. So for those first time, the people like you, Olivia, that are listening that are high school, that are, this is their first time, what's your best advice?
Best advice?
Uh-huh.
I'd say just go with a good group. I think the company is important. Yeah, having people that you know are going to want to wander around with you and are open to seeing, because one of the things I love about Bonnaroo is that there's a lot of people I don't know and I've never listened to. And I like to be able to wander around and like listen to whoever and sit at the back of the crowd, or we can go up to the front. Like I'm kind of, you know, definitely having good people around you that are open to do those things with you. And then also, I don't know, the packing list is, now that I have it down, I have it in my notes and every year I check it off and I don't delete it. but yeah, just having, and being okay with kind of being gross. Like I think the first year I was so obsessed with making sure I took showers. And then by the third day, I was like, I don't really care anymore. I was like, you know, it's really okay that everyone's kind of gross and just having a good time. Like, it's really not about like, I don't know. I was so excited about my outfits and everything like that. And it was more just like, I'm kind of over my outfits. I kind of just want to wander in a t-shirt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
so, yeah.
That's funny. That's very funny, actually.
You do notice that. Yeah, like Thursday, Friday coming in, you see everybody all dressed up. And then by Saturday and Sunday, yeah, nobody cares anymore.
It's whatever's comfortable.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've always liked about you, Olivia, and I could kind of tell from the start, is you have that attitude. You have that Bonnaroo attitude, like, let's go, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And that's huge. I think that's so important. But it's funny you said that, because I remember sitting next to, again, Ashley White, our photographer, in the media area. We were trying to send some photos back, and I was like, you don't want to sit next to me. I stink. And she's like, nah, you know, everybody does. I'm like, no, it's like 2-a-day football practice stink. It's bad. And then I remember that second or third year, I was like, I don't care. I'm not going to shower. But it was so bad, I couldn't sleep. So I went and took a shower. That's how it can get pretty rank.
Well, when sometimes, like, especially when I was just like, the normal camping, I would go take a shower, or I'd go, you know, like bring my jug of water and make a makeshift shower. And by the time you walk back to camp, you're kind of already sweaty and gross again. So I was like, I don't really know what I did that for. And I wasted $10. So
that's why that 2 a.m. shower is the best.
Yeah.
If you can do it, because then you can go to sleep. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You said all the right things. And I will ask, and maybe you can send it to us, email a photo of your packing list, and we'll put that up.
Oh, yeah.
We'll
get Russ to put that on.
Yeah, we'll put it on.
Because we're all the same. Or you've done like I've done, and you know what you're taking, and when you get home, you clean it, you wash it, you dry it, and then it goes in a corner,
mm-hmm.
and you don't touch it.
Right.
If you do, you'll forget. You know what I mean? You'll break it up. Does the same group go back? Are you with the same group that you went in 18?
No, I have actually gone, I think, with a different group every single year. And then this year, actually, my like all-time best friend is going to be going. And I've been begging her to go forever. And it's just, she's like, I just don't know if I can do the camping and it's not my vibe. And I'm like, come on, you see how much fun I have. Just let's go. And so her and her boyfriend are going to go this year. And I'm super excited to be able to like have her around for that. Cause it's something that I've, you know, talked about and loved for so long. So get to experience that with her now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard thing, isn't it? We have said on here many, many times, who you go with can be tricky. Cause not everybody gets it. Not everybody camps, not mm-hmm. everybody likes the same music you do. And the last thing you want is an anchor around your neck. You know, worrying that someone else is not having a good time.
Right. That's right. Her name is Britt, and we could not be more different in the music that we like. But we FaceTimed the day that the lineup came out, and she was like, okay, I will go see this if you go see this. And we were going back and forth on everything. Nice. But that's also fun, because I don't dislike any genre of music, but we definitely have different music tastes.
Mm-hmm.
Along those lines, who was it? Do you remember last year who it was that you were so excited to see? I remember you saying it to me, and I was, And again, it's that book by its cover type of thing. I was like, okay, I didn't see that coming.
Was it when Suicide Boys played? Or yeah, okay, that is my Spotify number one artist. Yeah.
I was like, all right, didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, them and I think, who was it? Knocked Loose played last year. I really enjoyed them.
That's funny. All right. And so also last year, and this is a, well, first of all, I think I've told you, we kind of had at the time I was working at the paper along with you, and I was halfway there and got a phone call, and the editors were like, some things have happened. You're not supposed to be there. We don't want to pay you guys to work all weekend kind of thing. And we did, cause you and I both were going. Right. I didn't care. I was going no matter what.
Yeah.
But what happened, and this is such a classic Bonnaroo type of thing, if you remember, I'm sitting in camp and I get a phone call or a text, I guess it was, from Ted Heinig, who is the president of AC Entertainment, which is the co-founder of the event, right? And he said, hey, are you going to the Isaiah Rashad show? The mayor's going to give him a key to the city. And I'm like, which mayor, which city? I mean, why is Isaiah Rashad getting a key to Manchester, right? And he's like, Chattanooga. And so I jump up, grab my phone, text you, and say, get to the, it was the what stage, right?
Yes, yeah.
No, the witch.
It was the one in front of the press area.
Witch, excuse me. It was the witch stage. And so you're like, cool, be there. And so we go back, and there's our Chattanooga mayor, Tim Kelly, ran into him, and ran into you quickly, and Nate Gale, who's a friend of the show and taken a lot of photos for us as part of the show and camps with us. And we're standing there, and Ken Weinstein, our good friend, media guy, comes walking by, and Nate's like, we need to get into the pit to get good photos for this. And of course, for people who don't know, you get typically the first three songs and that's it. And then you got to leave the photo pit. And Nate walks over to Ken and like, hey, we're from Chattanooga. We understand this thing is about to happen. Can we get into the pit area? Right. And Ken's like, sure. And so you, Olivia and Nate, 20 minutes in, 30 minutes into the set, I guess they kind of stopped, and you guys got to go, just the two of you, to the front and get that photo, which is Isaiah Rashad is from Chattanooga. I should have said at the start. So that's why it was a big deal for us. But I just think that's kind of a cool, I don't know that that happens everywhere. That kind of, you know, you got a good idea, let's do it.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
That was a good photo too.
They did end up, thank you. They ended up being really good. And Isaiah Rashad's just such a smiley guy. And it was so happy. And I have one of him like holding it up, and it's a good photo. I like it.
Yeah. His parents were there, right? I mean, didn't he say like, can you believe this, mom and dad or something? It was really a cool moment.
Yeah. So. And he had the Chattanooga baseball jersey on, the old Lookouts jersey.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I forgot about that. So. That's just what a cool, those things, you know, just one of those moments. It's very cool. All right. So going back to the lineup, Russ, I don't know about you, but the more I live with this lineup, the better I like it.
Oh, me too. Every time I look at it, I get more excited.
Yeah. And we're going to get into that in many, many future episodes. But Olivia, when you texted me, I think that morning, right? And you were like, that's pretty good. It's a pretty good lineup. What are you looking forward to?
Let me pull it up so I can look at everything. I know there's some people that there's not necessarily anyone that I listen to often, but there's people that I have either seen and loved seeing or haven't seen perform or don't know much about, and I've been listening to them now and I'm so excited to see them. I saw Post Malone at Voodoo a few years ago, and I cried. I was even a Post Malone fan, and something about it was like the last show of the night, something about standing in that big crowd and realizing y'all are all there just to like see this artist and have a good time, bawled my eyes out. So I'm very excited to see Post Malone again. Let's see. Cage the Elephant's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
GWAR, interestingly. I'm very excited about GWAR. I saw GWAR in 2017 at Warped Tour and didn't know what GWAR was. And then I went in the crowd and was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. So that'll be fun now that I'm expecting it. And my
Did you go home with blood all over you?
I did. And I don't know if you know who Never Shout Never is. Do you know who that? They're a little like smiley pop band, like a kind of scene emo smiley pop band. But I went left from that and I went over to GWAR. So it was very different vibes. And we were standing there and me and the girl that I went with were just wide eyed, like, what is happening? But it was so fun. And from that, like from then, I loved it. Let's see. Megan Thee Stallion. Yeah, that'll be fun. Melanie Martinez is an interesting artist, and she was on The Voice, and my family used to love The Voice, so I'm excited to see her, because her whole performance, she wears like a mask now, I'm pretty sure, so that'll be interesting to see. Renee Rapp will be fun. Key Glock will be fun. I think there's some good rap this year. I feel like a lot of times there's not a lot of rap. And like T-Pain, that's interesting.
I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, I don't know if people saw that, and I don't know when it came out, but Ozzy sort of Osbourne endorsed him as the best cover version of what War Pigs is.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that.
And it's pretty darn good. And I think that's going to be a great show.
Oh yeah,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
I didn't know who is it. The Garden. I didn't know who that was, and I've started listening to them. And I do enjoy them, so I'm excited to see
the Fred Again thing. Brad and Corey pointed out that's the only North American show is going to be at Bonnaroo.
Yeah,
and I heard them later say, basically we're going to do whatever we can to make that a unique experience. So Bonnaroo, because of it, they own the farm and everything, and it's a 24/7 basically event. I'm excited to see what they come up with.
It will.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun. I have no clue, but I definitely going to be a fun show. And it's a Sunday night, so it's the end of. And then you get Pretty Lights, right? Or we don't know when that one's going to be, but do we think it's going to be that Sunday? Probably Saturday. Probably Saturday into Sunday, right?
Either that or Friday into Saturday.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
What's your can't miss, Olivia? What's the one on there?
I feel like Dominic Fike is definitely someone I'm going to drag everyone to. And I do think Post Malone, or Big X the Plug. Do you know who that is?
No.
He's a rapper, and he's very fun, and I do think that'll be fun. But I might honestly say Post Malone, which is kind of how Machine Gun Kelly was for me. I was not a Machine Gun Kelly fan, and I didn't really ever listen to his music, and then I saw him perform, and just to like see someone actually, like, you could tell how much he cared about his set and his music and all that kind of stuff. I just think I like that, and like, especially from a photo standpoint, it was pink helicopter, and it was a performance. And so that's fun. And when I saw Post Malone, he's like breaking his guitar and there's fire everywhere. And it was really cool. So I do think Post Malone might be one of my top ones. And I don't even listen to Post Malone that much. He's just a cool guy.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm trying to go through. For me, again, it's still John Batiste and Krung Bin, but there's a lot. The more, like I said, the more I keep unpacking, and I think they really did a great job of building this one. There's something every day.
Yeah, right? It's layered very well.
Yeah, they did a great job. You had media, which is a different thing, Olivia. I mean, that's where we stay. But you chose to go out and camp with your friends. What was that like? And how is it different, or is it different? Could you tell a big difference camping last year versus 18 when you were, you know, in a coupe?
Yes. Yeah. Definitely more. Yeah. More prepared. I did have all my gear with me, so it was kind of a thing of like, lock the car. Like I'm please. But yeah, it was, I don't know. I guess just, yeah, very ill prepared the first year. And then going from, so last year, Avi and I ended up with another photographer staying in. He has a family friend that lives around there. And so we were like 30 minutes. I should have just drove from Chattanooga, honestly, but we were like 30 minutes away in this little house. So I did get my showers and I got to sleep on a couch and all that kind of thing. So that was nice. And then, yeah, camping, I went and camped with my friends. And then when I was tired of walking my gear back and forth from the press area to the campsite, I would just sleep in my car. I'd go take naps in my car. And so I was parked, I guess, in the media parking lot. And I was like, I'm just going to take a nap right here. And I'd put my little towel around my window so it was shaded in, and I'd lay my seat back and take a nap. I don't really care. I'm just there to have a good time.
Tell everybody, because I mentioned earlier, it is a lot of work. People, you know, it beats digging a ditch. So we're not complaining, right? I mean, it's the best place on earth, and working it is a lot of fun. But I don't know how it is for you or was for you, but it always seemed like I was in the wrong place at the wrong time sometimes. Like, as a fan, I wanted to be watching this show, but something I needed to cover, shoot, whatever was happening, right? I mean, did you have a lot of those sort of conflicts, or how did you sort of resolve that, I guess?
I think some of it was that things would overlap, and so I'd have to choose, okay, who of these two artists am I, because I can't get through that crowd from this stage to this stage. So it was like you got to make a choice on who you're gonna shoot. And then I would read the schedule wrong, and I you know, you'd think after 5 years I'd understand and know where the stages are because they haven't moved. But I'd go to the wrong stage, and I'd get there and I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm just sitting this one out because it's only three songs. So it's like, I guess I'm not going to that one. But for the most part, I would get local people. And then if there was someone that I wanted to shoot, or like someone that seemed like a big name, like I don't necessarily know much about Sheryl Crow, but I figured most people would want to see photos of Sheryl Crow. Right. So stuff like that, I made sure to be at like all the headliners and big names like that. I'm not sure if there was anyone I for sure missed. Sometimes I was tired because it is like the work day is the whole day. And I remember too, my friends would be like, okay, we're going to like this 3 a.m. set at Where in the Woods. Do you want to come? And I'm like, I'm so sorry. No, I'm not trekking out there. I can't.
Right. And, you know, do you want to carry that camera around?
Exactly.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
You know, you do your three songs and then you still got that camera around your neck. So yeah, it, like I said, it's a lot of work, but not complaining because it's the best. So do you have a favorite photo?
I do actually. Do you want me to pull it up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I have two, and one of them is from that Machine Gun Kelly set. And it's him and Sophie Lloyd, who is his guitarist, and it's on my Instagram. So, yeah.
Oh, nice.
But they're leaning back to back of the movement in her hair. I loved that one. And then I also last year shot Suki Waterhouse, and I'd never listened to her. I knew she was, you know, beautiful and talented, and so I wanted to go get her. But they these from this set were just like the colors were great. I love movement. I know some songs and artists don't lend way to like actually having like performance, but I love anyone that's like really getting into it. Just makes the action nice.
Yeah. Do you take a lot of photos of people, fans, just the during the day type of stuff, or do you prefer the performance photos?
I like the performance photos. Those are probably, I mean, they're exciting because you're getting to see this artist, and especially ones that like you've idolized, you get to shoot them. But the people are just so interesting, and people at Bonnaroo were so fun. And I remember last year someone had a bedazzled like disco ball helmet, and it just had the eyes out, and that I was like, I have to take a picture of you. And it's just you just meet so many people because someone sees you with a camera, and they just at Bonnaroo everyone's excited to kind of be in a photo. So it's like someone's posing, and you know, yeah, the people are a lot of fun, and it's just like the to look back on different years of like the just the line and the high fives and seeing who's high fiving and you know who's what are people doing at the fountain. Yeah, the people are a lot of fun. There's actually do you know the app? I think it's called Radiate.
I know it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a festival app and people will talk. And I went in there and put a message in and was like, I'm shooting this year. If you see me with a camera, like come say hi. And I actually did have quite a few people that were like, I saw your post. Like, can I get a picture? So stuff like that is a lot of fun. And it's just a lot of meeting people and talking to people I'd probably never, you know, talk to.
Yeah. Do you know yet? Are you going media? Or are you going as a fan, or are you hoping to as both?
So I applied for the press pass, but or the media pass, but I also bought a ticket because when they came out, I was like, if I can't go, I'm going.
Smart.
So if anything, I will have a ticket for sale.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you guys for listening. 667-787-7823-667-7877. Please call and tell us who else we should check out. We'll put your name in the Bonnaroulette hat somehow to win tickets. Thanks to Consequence for letting us do this on their network. Please subscribe and what else? Like and do
like,
all that.
Share. Tell all your friends and...
Yeah. And go check out the Stone on Air podcast if you're at all interested in Brian. I don't know why you would be.
Yeah,
whatever.
Some guy mad about things all the time.
Yeah. Go check that out. Russ, thank you. Love you guys. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Consequence Podcast Network.